The wheel of time turns, and ages come and pass, leaving memories that become legend. Legend fades to myth, and even myth is long forgotten when the age that gave it birth comes again. In one age, called the Third Age by some, an age yet to come, an age long past, a married couple decided to start a podcast.
This is Shade of My Heart, a Wheel of Time podcast. I'm Josh, and this is my wife, Kat.
We are so excited that we've come to the finale of season 2.
And what a season it has been. This season has been fantastic. Really, I liked the first season for the most part, but this season has really been a step above, and it really, really has been really entertaining.
Yeah, there were so many things in the last. I liked season 1 just fine, but what they've done in season 2, I've loved. Like, it's been really exciting.
Yeah. So again, you know, I've said this before, but I'll say it again. I am a book guy. I have read all the books. I love the books. I know the books very well. I am not expecting the show to be 100 book accurate.
Sure.
And it's not. Yeah. And I'm fine with that because it's a different medium. Some of the changes I think have actually been improvements in the show. So when I say it's great, I don't mean it's exactly like the books.
Sure.
There are some very significant differences, which we'll, I think we have touched on some, and we'll touch on some this episode as well.
Yeah, definitely. I do want to talk about that. I feel like that's part of, you know, what we're doing is talking about what's different in the books. I realized I forgot to say the title of the episode, What Was Meant to Be.
What Was Meant to Be.
Very exciting.
So this one opens with a prologue before the credits, which I thought was really interesting. We have Ishamael getting bound by Luz Theron and a group of male channelers. Presumably, that's the 100 companions. Remember, in the flashback in season 1, you had the Ammerlin seat refusing to help him. So this is, I guess, after that, this final push.
Right.
And so you have Ishamael getting bound in this seal. Now, in the books, this works very differently. In the books, the Forsaken just happened to be having a dark friend meeting in Shale Ghul when they were sealed in there by Luz Theron and the 100 companions.
Right.
But they don't, like, each have individually their own seals or anything.
Right.
So they're all sealed in there, and then as the seals weaken, they're able to escape.
It's like kind of one at a time. A seal weakens, and so one can escape. Another seal weakens, and so another one can escape.
And then eventually they're all out.
Yeah.
But it's never really clear exactly how the seals function. I actually like in the show how they do it a bit better, where it's one seal, one Forsaken. One seal per Forsaken, because it's easier to conceptualize what's happening with that. And so I thought it was a really interesting moment having Ishamael begging Luz Theron not to bind him in this seal, because he said, you know, I'm going to not let you die.
Right.
I know you want to die, so I'm not going to let you. I'm going to bind you in here, so you're going to be semi-conscious, but you'll be dreaming the whole time.
Right. Well, and I think, like, we've established that when he dies, he's just reborn.
Yeah.
So really, Luz can't let him die, because if he dies, he'll just be reborn.
Yeah. So it's really, really a great scene, and you see their friendship as well. And, like, Luz Theron is genuinely, like, sad and disappointed that he has to do this.
Yeah.
But Ishamael's made his choice. We also see that the men channeling Sidene is clean. It doesn't have those dark elements there.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. I really like it that we see that the power being woven looks very similar to what the women are weaving. That there's not that dark and the black and red and all that stuff. It's just hasn't been tainted yet.
Yeah, so that was really, really neat to see that. We also have the addition of the intro is back.
Yay!
All season, I've been wondering, why is there no theme song with that very cool, like, weaving of the pattern.
Yeah, the artwork there is so beautiful. I'm glad we got it at least once this season.
Yeah. So that was nice to see that back.
And you had looked it up, and it was like the showrunners were saying they had so many minutes, I guess, to do the show, and they wanted to just pack it with show, which doesn't super make sense if it's streaming, but that's whatever. It's a reason.
They made their choice. It's whatever.
Yeah. But at least we got it once.
They didn't ask me what I thought, you know, so it's okay.
So rude. Why didn't they call you?
So then we see the White Cloaks preparing to attack foam. And
Right.
really, I really liked the way that they did this with Jefferom Bornhold is the captain of the army,
The
and
old guy,
the
the old
old
white
guy,
guy.
the old Bornhold, is very brave, very noble. He's way outnumbered, and his son Dane is like, "Dad, why are you acting like we can win? We are gonna get smoked out there." They
Yeah.
have way more men. They are entrenched. They're, in a fortified position. They have channelers. What are we doing?
Yeah, I really liked that Jefferom was like, we have something they don't have. Because you do see that the White Cloaks have it. They think they're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Because they say, like, we have the light. Later on, he says
Yes.
something like, didn't you trust in the light?
Right.
Like, because they think they're doing the right thing, they think that they have, like, good on their side.
Yes, that's a big part for them. So I like
Yeah.
that they're like very brave. They're not a bunch of like wimps at all. They're misguided, but they are brave. And in this case, they are right to fight the Shan Chan. And Jefferom says, like, the Fallman wrote letters to everybody
Even
to
the
come help,
Amelin.
and nobody's here, just us. And so we're going to fight. And I love that. That was a very cool scene. Then we go over and we see Lanfear, Moraine, Lan, and Rand went into the Ways at the end of last episode. And so we see them in the Ways, and Lanfear is kind of laughing and dismissive of the so-called threat that Moraine and Lan pose. She's like, yeah,
Oh, you being
whatever.
quiet back there. Should I be scared? Yeah. Well, and then so then when she kind of just drops them off
Yeah.
in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, kind of dismissively, and says, raise his banner when the time comes.
Oh, and I really liked this little thing between them. Again, I've pointed this out before, but I really like how they're showing very well how powerful Lanfear is in comparison to Moraine. Because Moraine, we have seen, is very powerful. I mean, you go back to season 1, episode 1, she single-handedly gets rid of all these Trollocs. I mean, the people in Two Rivers help her a little bit, but like in Emmons Field, but she's very powerful. And then Lan, but it took her a lot of work to open the Waygate. She went through this whole rigmarole. And then Lanfear just almost snaps her fingers, basically, and it opens up no problem. I like that.
Yeah, that was good. This is very different from the books. In the books, Moraine and Lan just sort of appear in Falm, and they definitely don't go through the Ways, and you don't really see how they got there exactly.
They just travel. They just walk there, I
And
guess.
Lanfear does not take Rand there. He goes through what's called a portal stone. That's a whole thing. That's wild and crazy.
And it's fine that they don't have the portal stones.
Better, probably. The portal stones are confusing, and so I'm fine with that. Then we also see Perrin, Avienda, Bane and Chiad, the Aiel, Maidens of the Spear coming up. And they're getting there on their own. They just
They just
walk.
walked. The Aiel do just walk all the time because they're just used to it. They walk fast, they walk for long distances, and they don't ever need horses or anything like that. They just walk everywhere they go.
The books talk about them being really good long distance runners, that they'll run for 30 miles and then fight a battle at the end of it
Yeah,
like
just
it's
like no
nothing.
thing.
And the Aiel maidens know that a battle's coming,
They
and
can
that
smell it.
many people will wake from the dream this day. They see this cloud
Yeah, I
in the
guess that's what it
distance.
was that like cloud of smoke, and they're like, that doesn't belong here. Yeah, that was good. And you see that Hopper stays back. Wolves don't like to be around people. So that made sense too. One thing that I wanted to mention, so as we kind of go, and this might be jumping ahead a tiny bit, but when Perrin and his Aiel ladies go in and then sort of just kind of run into Ingtar and everyone, like as a watcher, I could be like, well, that was convenient. But we talked about, even in season 1, we hear that the kids from the Two Rivers are Ta'veren. And so, kind of what that means is that the pattern shapes around them, it makes them sort of lucky. So I felt like when he ran into them, I sort of thought like, oh, Ta'veren at work.
And Bane and Chiad said something about there was an ogier over here.
That's true. They knew that they were looking for an ogre. That's
Yeah.
true. So maybe I'm off, but
Yeah, but point well taken. I mean,
there's several
how
times.
big is Fawn?
Right.
I don't know.
And you've got this battle raging. Like there
Yeah.
could be anybody around the corner. They could be dead.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of times, even later on, where I'm like, oh, a little bit more of the Taviren luck
Now,
coming into play
another
here.
aspect of this is that Lanfear has orchestrated a lot of this. That
Yes.
she is the one that brought Matt there, she brought Rand there, she brought Lan and Moraine there. She's really the one forcing this conflict.
Right.
She is also the one that gave the Horn of Valyr to Ingtar
Right.
and Loial.
Because
So,
Ingtar's like, oh, yeah, somebody helped us, some lady from Cairhien.
yeah,
Well,
that's
I wonder
Lanfear.
who that could be.
So that's very different from the books. Lanfear is not doing
No.
that in the books, but I liked it in the show where Eshamiel made it very clear he doesn't want this confrontation. He says it's
Right.
too soon,
Yep.
and that he doesn't want this. But Lanfear is like, no, this is the right time. This is the right time. You know, kind of like,
Right.
I want you to fail here,
And he picks up on it,
and he
so he's
picks up
got
on
his
it.
backup plan.
We also see in that scene that there's six other seals in the room,
Yep.
and that's very much foreshadowing what comes at the end of the episode with those seals. So one thing that I thought was really an interesting tactic for the White Cloaks, they're attacking a walled city against a defending army, and so what their tactic is pretty smart. They have a whole bunch of sensors with smoke, and so they make this big cloud that covers their army, and so the Shan Chan can't see the army coming, so the gates are wide open, and so the White
They're able
Cloaks
to.
ride right through the gates. They don't have to besiege them, they don't have to build siege towers or anything like that, and they ride right through the gates and start killing Shan Chan. And really, you see that the White Cloaks, they are tactical and they are warriors. They are a real threat, and they have they know that that the Shan Chan have channelers, and so they're on orders like, kill them where you see them. They're
Yeah,
all
immediately.
gonna be, yeah, kill them on sight, and they're all probably gonna be in this tower. And so I'll jump
So
ahead
that's where
just a
we need to
little
go
bit
in.
that they've got trebuchets that are gonna attack the tower, and they're right that that's where the channelers are gonna be. And so really, the White Cloaks are pretty impressive that they did have a plan, and it
That's right.
was actually working.
Side note that doesn't have anything to do with the Wheel of Time. Josh is a big history buff and loves to read about like old ways of war.
Yes, and in all of my medieval studying, this tactic has never been done, to create a big cloud and then ride through the cloud of smoke. I don't think it's actually a good
No,
tactic. I don't think it would work.
probably not. Right.
But it did make for a really cool scene in a TV
Made a good
show.
visual. Yeah.
But then medieval battles never involved people channeling the one
You
power.
know, that's true. That's very true. The trebuchets, though,
Trebuchets are real.
that was real and that worked out.
Yep.
Yeah, good. So,
So now Fawn's under attack,
right, that's where we are.
and
Rena.
Rena is gonna get her new Damane ready for
Right.
battle.
Yes.
And she makes it very clear, you will do what you're told, or I cut out your tongue. And if you still won't do it, you lose your hands.
So this part when she takes her and she like almost cuts out her tongue and then she turns her around and cuts her braid off, I like almost started crying because like we saw in the last episode this one part where Egwene is sitting there and she's braiding her hair. And so you can see when you see the Shan Chan women, they all have these intricate braids, but it's very, very different from the one single Two Rivers braid that Egwene usually has. So I loved it that she has taken her hair out of these Shan Chan braids and put them in her regular braid. And it was like this one way of defiance of like, I
Yeah.
will not bend.
Holding on to her identity.
Yes,
Yeah.
yes. So like Rena turning her around and cutting it off, and this will hurt worse, and then stepping on it. Oh, I like literally almost cried. It was so like that was more shocking, I think, than even cutting out her tongue or whatever.
Yeah, she's cutting away her identity in a
Yeah.
way. Another interesting thing is Eshamael knows that Matt is supposed to stab Rand,
Right, because
and
the men thing.
because the men thing, and I still don't know how he knew about that vision because she didn't tell him that. But she goes, "How did you know about that?" So that's an interesting aspect there. But Padden Fane, our old peddler friend, has the dagger. And so Ishamael orders him to give Matt the dagger.
And I'm gonna be real. This was one thing I cannot imagine Thane giving up the dagger that easy. He's just like, whoop, here you go. Like, in especially.
Clearly, it's a very different thing than it was in the books. Because in the books, Fane is insane, and he loves that stupid dagger.
And he will do literally any, he would not let go of it. There's no
Never,
way.
never.
So my thought process for the show is, number one, it's different. But number two, like, he must be so sure of himself that he's gonna get it back that it's like no thing to lay it down. But like, I just can't. That was so unbelievable to me for him to just be like, oh, bet you want this. I know you're gonna get it. Like, boy, if you know he's gonna get it, you better not lay it down.
Right.
Like, I know how much you love that thing. It's your
Yeah.
lifeblood,
Right. Yeah,
practically.
so clearly Fane is not the same character that he was in the books.
Unless, of course, if it is a thing where he just knew he was going to get it back, we might see something interesting with him sort of seeking Matt the whole show, because Matt.
So their interactions were really interesting. The way that Fane says, you should give into your dark impulses. That's strength, to give into your dark side. Because you're no hero. You're no
I
hero.
know. I wanted Matt to say his line. I'm no bloody hero.
Yeah.
He always says that in the books. But I liked it that Fane was like you're a hero from a gleeman's tale, because that's another thing they say a lot, you know?
So let's talk about Matt for a minute here.
Let's talk about Matt.
So the whole time he has been really unsure of himself and feeling guilty. And so this is a really a redemption episode for him. And he refuses to touch the dagger, even though Fane leaves him alone in there. And
He knows what
instead,
it does to him.
he knows exactly what it does. He knows that to touch it would be to give in to his dark impulses, and he doesn't want to be that guy. So he does make use of the dagger, but he makes himself a spear. He gets this pole and he ties it on there, and he doesn't touch it. Now, from one perspective, I was thinking, there is no way you could tie that dagger onto this staff tight enough to where you're going to be hitting people with it and it stays on there without touching it. But that's fine for the sake of the show.
Right, for the sake of the
And
show.
the dagger has properties that are not in the show, that are not in the books. In the books, yeah, if you stab someone with it, they're going to die. They're like corrupted and turned black and bloated and they die.
Yeah, it's gross.
But in the show, this thing is cutting through metal. He's opening doors with this thing. So
It's like a magic.
it's a magic dagger.
So it
And
makes himself a little magic spear.
so he gets out by cutting his own lock and then he kills the Shan Chan
Oh, and
soldier.
I love that where he's like, I've been in a cell too long. I've figured out that there's more than one way out.
Yeah. And I love Fane just running away. Just,
Yeah, like, oh
no, don't
no.
want
Well,
this.
Again, he knows what the dagger can do too.
Yeah, he
He's
does.
very acquainted.
So then Matt runs out and at on the way, let's just stay with Matt.
I will say, okay, so this is kind of again where it's different from the books. I think we talked about last week this whole thing with him seeing his past lives and stuff. So obviously, that whole deal with the tea, I think that was Ishamael, the father of lies, just lying to him and making him think something that's not actually true about himself. It showed his fears rather than who he was or who he is. It's like what he fears he'll be. But I do think that it means we're not doing a certain section of the book of where he gets memories
Yes.
and where he gets a spear.
So in the books, do you want to talk
I
about
don't
it
know.
or
I feel
no?
like if people read the books, I know we've had at least one listener reach out and say that because of our podcast, they bought the books.
Okay.
So I don't think I want to spoil
Okay.
the difference because it's so cool.
Yeah.
So it's so cool, you guys. Read the books too. It's really, really cool.
So Matt runs out of there and he runs into Perrin and Loyal and the Aiel women. And they've got the Horn of Valyr and it's like, yay, we're back together and we're gonna have to fight right now.
I really like that whole scene with them coming back together too, with Matt like running into them, and like again, it was another like Taviren type of thing, just all of a sudden they're together. And then I like Matt. I hope, who are these people? He's like, oh, they're friends. I hope your friends can fight.
Oh yeah,
Don't worry about it.
they can fight.
Don't worry
You
about it.
got a bunch of
Oh,
Shinarins and Aiel, they can fight.
yes. I also really liked Loial, his quote about like, we need to stop acting like we're not heroes. Because he says, like, we're the heroes of today. We're heroes of somebody else's legend.
Yeah,
That
that was
was
cool.
like powerful. I
Yeah, that
loved
was a
that.
nice line.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Nynaeve and
Oh, okay. We can
Elaine
switch
for a
over
minute.
there
So
for a
at the end of
minute.
the last episode, they captured Isildur and they were going to use her to get information on how to rescue Elaine or Egwene. And in this one, Nynaeve is torturing this Isildur. Elaine looked very
I've
uncomfortable.
got that. Yeah, she looked very uncomfortable with the way that Nynaeve was torturing her. And yeah, I don't even know what to say about that. Like, there were definitely parts of that. Okay, here's what I'll say about that. The Emmons Fielders are more brutal in this. They're not so innocent
Yeah.
as the books. And like a lot of times in the books, if things like this would happen, they would like teach that bad guy a lesson by, you know, whatever, like leaving her in an idom to be found later, not torturing the junk out of her like that.
Yeah.
And Egwene later too, like they
Yeah.
don't have as much holding back
Yes. So
as much innocence.
they convinced this Suldam to pretend to be a Damane,
I don't think they
and
convince her. She doesn't have a
no, she
choice.
doesn't have a choice. But they take her to the tower, and on their way there, the White Cloaks, with their plan to kill Damane on sight, they kill her right through the neck with a crossbow
And
bolt.
I like that Nynaeve puts her hand up like she felt it.
Yeah, and we get our glimpse that when she dies, the eye falls
That's
off.
true. That's true. So we know about that, like what happens there for later in the episode. That's
Yeah.
good.
Unfortunately, Elaine also takes a
Yeah, takes an
crossbow
arrow
bolt
to
to
the
the
leg.
leg. She used to be an adventurer, but then she took an arrow to the knee. That's a famous line that the guards in Skyrim say. They always say
Oh.
that to the Dragonborn. So when that happened, I was like, "Ha ha, Skyrim." Yeah.
Skyrim,
Nynaeve is more scared than angry. And
Yes.
so she is not able to touch the one power at all. And so she would really like to heal Elaine, but she just cannot.
Instead, she just pushes the arrow through and then doesn't wrap it up that we see.
Yeah, so that was a thing that I was like, you're a wisdom. And Elaine is going to bleed out
Yeah, I mean, I
because
suppose,
you have to bind the wound
right.
up.
We have to think that there was a little scene that we missed that they didn't show us of her binding the wound because, yeah, that was silly.
That was silly.
But it does let us know that Nynaeve is not in a place where she can channel. And that's why
Yeah,
she's
she's too
like, I
scared.
have to take you up to the top of the tower because I might not be able to
So
channel.
that I like that a lot, that she was like, I have to take you because I can't channel. Also, I know I just pushed a crossbow bolt through your knee. We're gonna do a lot of stairs. We're gonna do like so many stairs. So this is gonna be a lot of fun for you.
Hope you can channel when we get there. Hope you're not deaf. That's funny. I love it that everybody is the goal of every person in this episode is to rescue Egwene.
Yeah,
That's
rescue
and you
Egwene.
have that moment where Rand like sees her walking up to the top of the tower.
Yeah.
And so we could probably skip over there to Egwene going up the tower. And here is this like all of these Suldam and Dumane are like fighting.
And it's a good idea because they've
Yes,
got
great idea.
visibility. Yeah.
And you see that Egwene doesn't want to do it. She doesn't want to do it. And then she spots Valda.
Yeah.
And
The white cloak that had hurt her and Perrin.
yeah, and I think that's why she was able to do it. She saw him and she thought, that guy, if that guy's involved in this, yeah,
Let's
I
get
can
him.
throw some fireballs.
But then she feels bad and she doesn't
Well,
want to
she
do it
sees like the little
anymore.
kids and stuff. Like,
Yeah.
I'm not just killing bad people, I'm hurting
Yeah.
innocent people.
So then she's like, I'm not doing this anymore. And Rana's like, yes, you are. And so then she's going to cut her tongue out. And then the trebuchet plan pays off big. Direct hit, takes out the tower. Looks like it kills most of
Yeah,
them.
definitely.
And it's just
Looks like it
Egwene
really just, yeah, it just
and
kills everybody
Rana.
except Egwene and Rennet. Well, and the
Yeah.
interesting thing is, if the Suldam die, the Dumane die. So even
Right.
if
Not if the Damani weren't killed at first, like maybe if just some of the Soldan died, then also the Damani died. So, and so during all of this craziness up on the top of the tower, we also have a scene with Rand that is very different from the books, and I can't decide if I love it or hate it.
So in the books, it's been a big thing that Rand has been practicing the sword a lot. He's really taking his training seriously, and that when they're going to get the horn, he and Turok have this one-on-one blade master against blade master battle, and Rand is really trying not to channel, and so he's not even letting himself use the flame in the void, which is like
Oh, yeah, we've never talked about the Flame in the
this
Void.
swordsman's trick that his
Yeah.
dad taught him. And so he's losing, but he is able to finally kill Turok. And so in this, Turok even says, "Let's see if it what it takes to get the Heron Mark sword on this side of the Earth Ocean,"
Yeah.
which is what he says in the books.
Yeah.
But instead of having an epic sword fight,
But he also does all these cool things.
yeah, he's like takes his sword out and he's like,
And
"Let's go."
all his soldiers are like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah. And so it's like, okay, now it's time to see
There's
what
gonna be
Rand
something
knows.
crazy.
And then Rand's like, I don't feel like sword fighting. And then he just smokes all of them with the power.
Yeah.
And it's not really a battle. He just
Right.
kills all these guys. But you do get something from the book, which is that when Turok dies,
Voice.
his voice kills himself on the
Yeah,
spot,
and I thought, like, at
guts
first I was
himself.
like, why in the world is the voice the only one that Rand let live? But then I thought he didn't have a weapon out.
He did not have a
So
weapon.
I think that's kind of a thing where we see with Rand, like, he's gonna kill the bad guys. That guy didn't have a weapon out. So he didn't,
I agree.
I think he wasn't, a threat. But yeah, it was kind of, part of me was like disappointed to not have the sword fight, and part of me was like, that's pretty cool. He's learning to control it. He's learning to do exactly what he wants to do with it, that he got every single one of them. So,
Yeah, that's true. This is the first time that we've seen him really channel. And
purposefully,
very
and
targeted,
yes.
knows exactly what he's out.
Yeah, so I think it still was good.
Yeah, it was good. It's just very different.
Yeah, I did laugh though. Like, I was like, ah, that was awesome when I first saw it. Then when I started thinking about it, I was like,
I wanted a sword fight.
yeah.
We have yet to see Rand fight with that
I mean, I
sword.
guess they're not gonna really.
I like Rand the swordsman. I hope they do it at some
Yeah,
point.
we'll see. We gotta keep our
Yeah,
eyes
we'll
open.
see. Swords are just so cool.
Swords are very cool. Okay, so sorry that this episode is jumping around a lot, but
The episode
the episode
makes
did
it
that. And
difficult,
it
yeah.
if we follow one person, we'll get all intertwined stories. So one thing that I do want to go back to though is this big fight in the alley with Ingtar, and then the White Cloaks and Perrin, that whole situation. So a difference in the book is Ingtar's death. Now he does die here at Faum, but we learn, I don't know, again, I don't think, I guess I want to tell that, but Ingtar's death is different in the book. He does sacrifice himself, and it's lovely and you'll cry, but it's different. So this was still good. So then we have this interesting situation with Perrin and the White Cloaks meeting in the alley.
So they're fighting Shan Chan. White Cloaks are fighting Shan Chan.
And you almost feel like when Dane Bornhold like sees Two Rivers, when they recognize
They're
him,
like,
he's like,
hey, they're
oh,
buddies.
hey, we're both fighting the Shan Chan, cool.
You have this moment of we're on the same side, but then Valda recognizes Perrin and is like, oh, he hates Perrin.
He's like, you will find out what you really
And so he's
are.
about to kill him, and then Hopper busts in and attacks Valda,
A
and
hopper.
then Jefferon Bornhold kills Hopper because, hey, I mean, you see a wolf
Yeah.
attacking your White Cloak
Yeah.
buddy, and of
And
course you
Stone
kill the
Cold, he's
wolf.
like, here's an axe in you. Come on, Valda, let's go. And it, like, to him, it was nothing.
There's nothing. He probably was thinking, a wolf? That's
That's
weird.
weird.
In
Right.
a city? That's
Right. So
weird.
strange.
But no big deal. Kill a wolf, move on. But Hopper, of course, is Perrin's friend. And you see this his spirit go up, and it's so
Yeah. And it's the
sweet.
same thing you saw when he found out his name. It's like the same image.
And so, of course, Perrin is enraged.
Rages out. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, he is not about that. And so he
And he
picks
grabs that
up an axe. This is
axe.
the first time we've seen him wield the axe.
Yes.
And he kills Jefferon because he killed his friend.
Yeah.
And then Dane sees that, and so he wants to kill Perrin, And that's very different from the books. In the books, you do have Hopper gets killed by White Cloaks, Perrin kills the White Cloaks, but it's not Jefferum and
It's
it's
not
not in
Jefferum, yeah.
Falm. It's actually in Book One
But
in like the wilderness.
yeah, but Jefferum does die in
Jefferum
Falm.
does die, but not at Perrin's hands.
But Dane thinks it is.
Right. And so it's interesting, this change is
It actually
Perrin did
is.
actually kill him,
Yeah.
but it was. Yeah, so that was all really interesting. And Uno,
Yeah, we gotta go to Matt again.
let's go to Matt
Follow
again.
Matt up. He's terrified. He's like, take the horn. You
Yeah.
know, Perrin tells him, take the horn.
Okay, so let's talk about this for a second.
Oh
So
yeah.
Perrin says that he needs to get the horn to Rand, but they can't open the box. And
Yeah.
so Matt uses this
Magic
handy dandy magic
spear.
spear and opens the box, but you see like the corruption of the dagger, the
Yeah.
black tendrils on the box, so
Yeah.
you get that, like, okay, this is a magic thing, but it's also like evil, kind of.
Right.
So
Ooh.
he takes the horn and he's trying to get up to Rand, but then he's facing down like a huge group of Shan Chan soldiers. And so he decides, it's just me against all these guys. Let's blow this horn, see what this
Yep,
baby does,
yep.
take it for a spin.
Yeah, and so in the book,
They're outside of Falm
right.
in the book. And there's like the White Cloak army and the Shan Chan army, and they're like, what are we gonna do? Blow the horn. So this is a different circumstance, but the horn does get blown
By Matt.
by Matt at Falm.
Yeah,
So
so all of these things
that's the
are
same.
happening. And I love the look on his face when he's like, I remember, because it's like everything that Ishmael did to him then kind of just slides away, you know,
Yeah.
like all of those lies and all of the fears
Yep.
slide away.
And
And
Fane telling him, you're not a hero. And then he's
yes,
like, no, I remember, I am a
I
hero.
am a hero.
And he remembers that he's a hero of the horn, and now he speaks the old tongue, and
Yes,
he
I
can
loved it
really
so
fight.
much. I loved it so much. And I recognized some of the heroes, not all of them, but some of them. And then you see Uno, and you're like, oh, I was so happy because Uno is in the rest of the books. And so, like, having him as a hero of the horn, I thought that poor actor, like, you only got to be in a couple of episodes. But so, yeah, I was thrilled that Uno's a hero.
And Matt can really fight now with that
Yes,
spear.
absolutely slaying with that spear.
Yeah.
Spinning it all around and
Yeah.
everything. That was incredible.
I really liked how they did the heroes all looking different
Yeah.
because they're supposed to be from different ages, and they look like, boy, their costumes don't go together at all, but
Yeah.
they're supposed to look like that. And
Yeah.
some of them look like a culture that we would kind of recognize, but some of them look like, I don't know where that's from, but
Right.
that's how it's supposed to look.
Yeah, it was really cool. And I loved how they came up too, like with the cloud of dust
And
and
that
the
they recognize
lightning.
Matt too. And they're
Yes.
like, we fought together more
Yeah.
times, you know, it's great.
Yeah, it was
Great,
really
great.
awesome. It was really awesome. So, and I love the way they did visually, like with the, I don't know, what would you even call that? Like they were sliding behind, you know, like the, I don't know what it was, what you would even call that.
I don't either.
Like their essence or something was sliding around behind them. And
Yeah, they kind of had trails of
yeah,
movement.
it
Yeah.
was really neat.
And Uno saved Perrin
Yeah.
from Dane and
Yeah.
stepped in and killed some Shan Chan. And Uno, again, you just see like this dude loves to fight. He
He
loves
loves it. He loves it. It's his favorite. He's
it.
so excited.
He's
I like
so
him like,
happy.
don't be so surprised that I'm a bloody hero or something like
Yeah.
that. So a hero of the horn. This is so good. I love Uno so much. He's hilarious.
Yeah, he's great.
Oh man, that was really good.
So then
Okay.
we also get that Lan and Moiraine were dropped
Oh my
off
goodness.
like way far
Totally
away
forgot
from,
about them.
they got dropped off so far away from Falm. And
Right.
so they're like just walking on the beach
Yeah.
toward Falm.
She wanted to be a part of this, and now it's like, well,
I can see Falm in the
eventually.
distance. It'll just keep
It's
walking, I
not
guess.
getting any closer, but we'll keep walking. I will say, though, I was so happy that I knew it. I called it. When she was like saying to Lan, the only reason I could say that we weren't equals is because since the first day we met, I knew you were my better. I love that she respects him.
Yeah.
She has seen what he can do, and she really
I
respects
still
him.
think she should apologize for like how freaking mean she's been
Oh,
to
100%.
him. But she did restore their bond, which
Yes.
I think was their reconciliation.
Yes, that was her
I don't think
apology
she's constitutionally capable
of
of
apologizing.
apologizing, of saying the words, I was wrong. I don't think she
Yeah.
can physically do
I've
it.
known people like that.
Yes.
They show me with their actions that they're sorry
I'm
for treating me
sorry.
so
I can't
bad.
say it, but I am
Yeah, let
sorry.
me give you a hug and then you'll know. Yeah. And I really liked, I love what they're doing, how they show the One Power and how they show the weaves.
Yeah.
It's really cool. So that whole thing with her restoring the bond
It was
with Aang
very
was really,
intimate.
it was, which is.
Even the way that they were standing was like very intimate. It was neat. I like
I
that.
liked it a lot too. It shows that the bond is an extremely intimate thing. It's
Yeah.
really, really, I don't even know how to describe it, but I liked that a lot. It was cool. So we have them out here walking.
Yep. And so then she sees like, oh, there's weaves coming from
Oh, but
the ships
we
out
aren't quite
there.
there yet. We got to go back up
Oh yeah, we gotta go back up. So
to Egwene because
yes.
we didn't
Yes.
finish that
So
up.
Egwene like gets knocked down by this trebuchet stone, and she
Thanks, White
finds,
Cloaks.
yep, thanks, White Cloaks. She finds on the ground an item, and she kind of palms it. It's important. And so then Rena's like doing her thing, like, hey, this is all your fault, and yada yada. And then Egwene puts the item on her. And this is something that they never did in the books, but I actually had thought about what would happen if you have two women that collar each other. Now what? And so Egwene collars her, and so then when Rena tries to hit Egwene, she gets the blowback,
That was
like just
cool.
like Egwene had gotten. So that was really neat. And
And I love
then
that rule number one, you cannot hurt your Suldam. It was
yeah.
so good.
And Egwene, her will is very strong, and she's very angry. So she like strangles,
Oh
hangs
my
her.
goodness. Yeah, she is stone cold. Well, I like it that she explains to Rena what's going on here.
Yeah.
That yes, you can channel, you're just super weak. That's why nobody ever knew it. We're linked.
Yeah.
And how she's like, at first I thought it was like the water bond, but then I realized, no, if you can see my weaves, we must be linked. You can channel.
Yeah.
So she explains the whole thing, which is hopefully we get more of that because that becomes this devastating thing
Yeah,
of
to the whole
like,
Shan Shan Empire,
yeah.
because they depend on the Damani strength, but it's based on the assumption that if you can channel, you must be
You
collared.
must be collared.
In fact, the word that they call Aes Sedai is Mareth Damani, which is those who must be collared. Damani is the collared. Mareth Damani is those who must be collared. So if they discover that all the Suldam who hold the Idam are actually Mareth Damani, it'll bring the whole shebang down.
Then nobody can be actually Suldam if they're
Yeah.
all the mon Yeah, it's really interesting.
Yeah. And so
So
she gets Rena to release the Idam and take it off. Rena's hoping that Egwene will then stop hanging her to death. But Egwene just watches her die. Stone
Oh my
cold,
goodness,
just
brutal.
watches the life go out of her eyes.
Brutal.
Egwene is a different person now.
Yeah, she has completely been changed,
Yes.
which makes it so like heavy when Rand comes in and he's like, she's like, how, why are you here? How are you here? And he's like, well, I was trying to rescue you, but you didn't need me. And it's this very heavy, like, I don't know. I'm sure she's conflicted. Does she wish that he would have gotten there sooner? Is she glad that she rescued herself? Like, I don't know. Very conflicting. Of course, we don't have much time to consider that.
No, because here comes
Here
Ashamayel,
comes a Shamael.
and he blasts Egwene and knocks her out, and blasts Rand and knocks him down, and then Rand is immediately shielded by a bunch of Damani on a ship out in the
With
sea.
Suroth.
Now, I had a little bit of issue with the distance of channeling.
Oh yeah, because it seems like they should be able to see him.
They should be able to see him, but they can't really from where they're at. The
No.
vantage point, they can't see him. So how are they shielding
Right,
him?
how did they not know it was Ishmael
They could
instead?
easily have been shielding the wrong person. You're right. So yeah, I didn't really like that, but whatever.
Some we have to make some, what is the word I'm looking for?
Allowances.
Allowances. We have to make some allowances.
Yeah. And so then you have this standoff, and Ishmael's like kind of gloating and talking, and then Matt comes up, and Ishmael's got his back to Matt, and he's standing right in front of Rand. And so Matt, the hero, is like, "I'm gonna take out Ishmael right now, baby!" And he throws the spear, But instead of taking a Shamael in the back like he threw it, it would. It was good shot.
Perfect shot.
But a Shamael was using illusion. He wasn't really there, and it stabs Rand. And so Min's vision.
Now we know Min's vision.
Yeah. So even though in the vision, he was stabbing Rand like holding it like a dagger and stabs him in the stomach. And that's not how he did it. He did still stab him, but he threw the spear.
Yep.
And it got him. And so poor Matt is like, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
Oh my goodness.
And Ishamael's like, oh, a simple illusion. I can't believe you didn't see that. Which is a jerk thing to say because
shut up.
Matt can't channel. So how would he know if it's an illusion?
Right.
Or not. And so then just at the right moment, Egwene wakes up and then she shields Matt and Rand from
because Ishamael's she now attack. Gets how strong she is. She's been able to be practicing with the power.
Yeah.
And what Rena has done to her, although it's been torturous, has really unlocked her potential.
Yeah.
You know, she
and she doesn't try to attack Ishamael.
Right. She
all
knows
she's
she can't
doing
do
is like stopping his fireballs.
Yep. Right. She knows that she can't actually fight him. She's not like an idiot, like how Suan thought she could kill Lanfear.
Yeah, it didn't go good.
She was like, but she recognizes that she's a lot more powerful than she thought. And she's learned how to do these certain things. So she's able to put this shield up to stop the fireballs.
Yep.
Yeah.
So then they're up there and it's still unclear, like, what are we going to do now? And then the rest of the Emmons Field crew gets there.
Yay!
Plus Elaine.
Emmonsfield 5 back together again.
Nynaeve still can't channel. She's still more scared.
Oh, but I love Perrin coming in because Egwene like looks to Rand and she's like, I'm so sorry, because she knows she's just about had it. She's just about can't do it anymore. And then Perrin's shield, it looks like that's Uno's shield.
That is Uno's shield. Uno so gave him his shield.
He's able to actually stop the fireballs. It
seems like that shield is magic.
It must be some kind
of some sort.
Oh, yeah.
But that's new. That's not in the books.
Yeah.
So I can't really comment on what the capacities of that shield are.
Right.
But they do seem to be able to somehow stop Ishamael's attacks.
Yeah, it must be a Tarangriel. They've got to be otherworldly because of who they are. But yeah, so I love him coming in and they all just kind of converging on this. They haven't been together since, my goodness.
Season one.
Yeah, the end of season one when Matt didn't go through the Waygate.
Yep.
So yeah, so cool. So they're back together again. They're all like apologizing to each other.
Also, Rand is like dying.
Rand is dying.
And Nynaeve is still more scared than angry, so she can't channel a lick.
Right.
And so Elaine has to heal him. Now, in the books, Elaine is not very good at healing.
Right.
She can't heal much more than, like, a bruise.
Right.
But she's able to heal his wound from the dagger.
But you can see that it's nasty. Still, yeah, like, it's not like what we've seen before where they're like, fine.
Yeah.
This is definitely not
everything. But we also have him saying, like, who are you? And she's like, Elaine.
I'm Elaine.
And the light, you know, coming behind her. So it seems like they're going to do that storyline with Elaine.
And how can you not?
Being in love.
So.
When two redheads meet.
Oh, honey, you're giving a spoiler. Nobody knew that was what was going to happen with the sun coming in from behind her.
It's very subtle.
So subtle. Okay, so hop back down. Off of the tower now, and we have Moraine noticing those weaves coming from the ship.
Yes.
And we have, you know, now that she and Lan are back restored again, they can sense each other, all that lovely stuff. So we have this really cool thing where she's going to stop. Oh, I know what I was going to say here. Moraine, with her whole thing about, like, I would kill 1,000 people, if innocent people, if it meant that he lives. So you get that sense again of her cause is the greatest cause in mankind.
Yeah.
Like,
this is all she cares about.
It's all she cares about. It's all she's going to do. And she sees the gravity of the situation.
Yeah. And so, she sees the weaves coming from the Shan Shan chips. Mm-hmm. And, she's like, I think it has something to do with Rand. And so that just at that moment, a bunch of Shan Shan soldiers come
up. Yep.
And
out of nowhere,
Lan has to deal with them by himself so that she can deal with these ships.
Yeah, got my man grabbing arrows out of the sky.
Dude, Lan is so awesome.
He is awesome. I would say that that was unbelievable, but it was Lan, so it's completely believable.
The Warder Bond gives men extraordinary abilities, that's I guess. True. And so this is something that I didn't yeah. super love this, that she's really far away from right. these ships.
Yeah.
And she's able to take out all of these ships.
Yeah. With okay, the thing that I didn't get is she doing fireballs through the water?
Yeah.
Are they like somehow surrounded by air? I'm not really sure why we had to do the fireballs through the water. Like, why not just, I guess they would see them coming if they were up from above. But I don't know. Yeah, I agree. I wish
plausible to have fire in the water.
Yeah, it looked cool. But
it wasn't
the best part of the episode, let's just say that.
Yeah. So she deals with Rand's shield and enables yes. Rand to channel.
Woohoo.
And then Rand gets up because he's got healed from Elaine mm-hmm. and he's got his friends.
Yeah.
And he can channel again thanks to Moraine. Woohoo. And so then he just walks up to Shamiel, just stabs him in the chest. With his sword all fired up from channeling.
Yeah.
And he half swords, which means you grab the blade and pushes it in with both hands, mm-hmm. which is how he gets the brand on his hand.
Yeah.
But when he did that technique, I was like, oh, that's an interesting one. I know that technique.
Oh, nice. I didn't know that that was a thing. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I've sort of seen it, but I didn't know that it was like a thing. It was really interesting to me. I feel like Ishmael is just like standing there. Is he?
Yeah, why are you just standing there?
Is he thinking?
How are you going to just let him stab you in the chest?
But then again, like, what did we see at the beginning of the episode? He just wants to die. Please just kill me. And then as he's laying there, he is like, it's so beautiful. And when he's like, what do you see? And he says, nothing, absolutely nothing.
And then he turns to ash.
So I guess he's actually, whatever this killing him with the power. Slash the sword. I don't, and the sword like disintegrates, I guess.
The blade melts off.
The blade melts off. Yeah. So I think at first I was like, why are you just standing there? But I think maybe it's because maybe he just was ready. He was just like, oh, okay, finally, this works.
Finally get to die.
He didn't break the wheel like he wanted, but like at least I get to die.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. But then we have this this thing with Moraine realizing what's going up on up there, that he's done what he needs to do. And she talks about the dragon being banded across the sky above the Watchers, meaning the prophecy of Rand proclaiming himself as the dragon in Faum. And so then she makes this, I don't know, this fire dragon guy. Don't know how she was supposedly made that.
Again, but she's like a mile away.
Right. It looked very cool.
It did look very cool. And so then you have the great Emmonsfield 5 plus Elaine on the tower top.
Yeah.
The dragon above them. And then everyone
the
below,
war
like,
thing is over.
Cheering.
Everybody's
like,
so happy.
Yeah, it's a nice moment there. So Lanfear's plan worked perfectly. She's the one that put all the pieces in place.
Yep. So she just, you know, all right, all done.
Earlier,
Bale Doman.
Earlier in the episode, she met up with Bale Doman, who is in Faum, and said she was going to pay him to take the seals and dump them in the deepest part of the ocean.
Right. So here she goes.
She's going to go get the seals. Let's get rid of these seals, which, remember, contain the remaining Forsaken.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all shattered.
Yep. Which we didn't talk about where Ishmael met up with Suroth and found out Turok was dead and all that. But he like came in dusting his hands. So obviously he had broken the seals at that point.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Lanfear goes down and the music kind of starts to slow a little bit. And here's this crazy lady.
And she's got like webs.
Yeah.
Webs
of the power.
And she's sitting in the dark.
Yep. Softly, softly from the shadows.
Yes. So Mogideon.
Mogideon, I think is how they pronounced it.
Yeah, so in the books, in the audiobooks, they pronounce it a couple of different ways.
Yeah, Mogadine.
Mogadine, Mogideon.
Mogideon. Yeah, I think she said Mogideon.
But that's a spider, and it's a deadly kind of spider. And she is very much about, like, the stealth kill.
Yeah.
Lanfear is flashy. Lanfear is kind of in your face. And Mogadine is the schemer.
You know what we forgot? This one little mention, Avienda, when she looks up and sees it, she's like, the
The
Kara
Karn. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why she said that's why they're there, is to find the Kara
To find
Karn.
the Kara
And so
Karn, yeah.
they recognize that
Yeah.
Rand is the Kara Karn. Yeah, good memory
Yeah, the
there.
dragon is what like makes her realize Kara Karn.
So
Okay,
now
sorry.
Lanfear did not want the other Forsaken around
Right.
because they're dangerous and they fight amongst themselves. But
Mm-hmm.
now they're all loose, and
Yep.
Mogadian is like, "We're coming. We're
Yeah,
coming for
and
him."
she's like, this isn't a fight, this is a warning. I love how creepy she is. And giving off those spider vibes, and oh man, it was well done, production team.
Yep.
And she like when she does the thing to like catch Lanfear in this web looking thing, and oh man, just so creepy and weird, and I loved it.
Yeah. So that's how they end this season, very much foreshadowing.
And then
There's
Lanfear
a lot of
saying,
battle ahead.
Lanfear says, "Light help you, Randalthor."
Yeah.
That was really something.
Yeah.
It was very, very cool.
So this was a great episode,
Yeah.
a great cap to a great season. Hopefully everyone has been enjoying it as much as we do.
Yeah.
No, it is not completely book accurate, but I'm okay with it. I'm on board.
Yeah.
It's very
It's been great.
entertaining.
Yeah, and I think so now season eight, I mean season two is over. A couple of things moving forward for the podcast. I think our plan is to kind of hop back into some more character sketches. Not really sure how long we're going to have to wait for season three.
We'll see.
Hopefully not as long this time. Yeah, so I'm going to look back over what character sketches we've done and what we still need to do. I think the last one was Land Mandragoran. So we'll jump back into those. And then we also have another fun thing in store that we're thinking about doing. So stay tuned, keep listening, share with your friends. And until next time, may you always find water and shade.